Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
So the king comes over, and Hezekiah proudly takes him through all of his possessions and kingdom. Every room in his house boasting of all the beautiful ornamental gold shields and everything that was there.
Well, you said everything.
Everything. There was nothing, it says right here, there's nothing that he didn't show him. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not. Pride had come out of sorrow on his deathbed just months before. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, What saith these men? From whence they came? They came unto thee. I got a bad feeling about these guys. What happened here? And Hezekiah said, Oh, they're come from a far country, even from Babylon. You met that cool place we hear about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is some really VIPs I had here. And he said, What have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, All the things that are mine house, all the things that are in mine house, they've seen. Oh, I showed them everything. Yeah, even that those secret treasure rooms that we got underneath the palace.
Yeah, where you got to put a little arm down, yeah, the statue.
And yeah, and you know, and I mean, they live 500 miles away, so I didn't think it was a big deal they got the code to the safe or nothing like that.
Yeah.
There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. I showed them everything. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, Hear the word of the Lord.
Right then I would have cringed.
Yeah. Hear the word of the Lord.
Yeah. Here it comes.
Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house, that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day, shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. So everything you have is going to be carried off into Babylon. You know, and this, everything being carried away into Babylon is going to include the people. But this is not for the sins of Hezekiah, of his proudness showing these people. This is the proud event that God is going to use, because this is what the people have deserved for a long time. This is the catastrophic event he's going to use to orchestrate their being taken into bondage. You remember that little remnant that he talked about would survive and come past? They're going to be taken into bondage. And we'll see that in the book of Daniel. And they're going to be, as you would say, gold is run through the fire. They're going to be refined. And a small remnant is going to come out of there with a zeal to serve God again. Because it's not so good to be someone else's servant. An entire generation, 70 years. It's all a plan, but Hezekiah has given God the little cross the red line kind of deal. Mm-hmm. Look what you've done. Okay, now I'm going to do it. Remember what he said about the inhabitants of Canaan? I've been working with them. They haven't quite transgressed enough. So here's the defining moment God has been waiting for, so he can bring his people out of the promised land, refine them again like they did in Egypt, and then bring them forward and start again. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, thou which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be made eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Often wonders, Daniel was one of the eunuchs. Often wonder if he was actually one of the sons of the king. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. Wow. He knows. He knows where the nation is. He knows that he is one of the last kings to try to do a little better but he also knows that he didn't do fully better. Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? At least I know what's going to happen. And the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might, and how he made a pool and a conduit and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Hezekiah slept with his fathers, Manasseh his son, reign in his stead. Chapter 21, Between the Lines with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Right on the heels of his father, who did that which was good in the sight of the Lord. How many generations have we raised and we didn't teach our children correctly, America? We've raised a generation that has no moral compass right now. And they are on the verge of taking the reins of this country, which God established for two reasons. The Bible says so. America's in here. Catch us on WVFF 97.7 on Between the Lines. A time such as this, America is in this book in many places. God set this nation aside by itself so it could become a Christian nation and proclaim the word of God to the entire world. And we did that. And he has one more task, he says. In the end days, Jerusalem will be besieged. And this nation will rescue God's people before judgment will come. Just like here, judgment will come on America because we've turned our hearts away from God. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. And he reared up altars for Baal, and made a grove, as did Ahab king of Israel, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will I put my name. And he built altars for all the host of heaven, in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Wow. This guy is not only raising up Baal again, he's putting it in with God. He's mixing it in with the religion of the true God of the Israelites. Such as the different congregations that we have now, you know? Why do we have so many different denominations?
Divided.
Yes. Yeah. It all started with the apostles. It's not a new thing. You know, one apostle starts this church, another apostle starts that church. Well, I ain't going to that church. I go to John's church. Yeah. John preaches so much better than Thomas does. And John says, Thomas says this one thing that I don't like. And it started evolving into secular religion of different authenticity. God says, and even Paul tried to set them straight. He says, focus on the main object, salvation through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. Don't focus on whether you can eat pork on Friday.
Or the order to light the candles.
Yes.
Or this, that.
Yeah. And it started with stupid little things.
Yep.
And it turned into all of these different divisions of the house of God. And I tell you what, Baal is in a lot of them. Just like this fellow is here, he's done. Oh, you know, Dad's dead. All that Baal worship stuff, we still got in the warehouse?
Yeah.
Supposed to have destroyed it, I know, but I had some of the guys put some in the warehouse. Get it out. Don't just put it on the high places. Bring some down here and put it in the courtyard of the temple.
Or have the servants that we didn't wipe out, that we were supposed to wipe out, bring
them. Yeah. Like the Romans did. when Christianity became the state religion. Mm-hmm. Any time a religion is adopted by the state government, there's a problem.
Yes, sir.
You see here, the prophet would walk into the king's throne room and demand answers. Most people requested an audience with the king, bowed down at the door when it was opened, came halfway, bowed down again, came up to the little red line that he had there, bowed down himself to the ground, and asked the king whatever he needed. Mm-hmm. If he was allowed to come in there. You don't see the prophet doing that. Mm-hmm. Prophet kicks the door in, walks up there and says, "What have you done?
You screw up.
Who are these guys? What did you show them?"
Yeah.
You know, the state rules the country by way of keeping the law, keeping the moral law of the land, governmental laws. But God rules the world. The state does not trump the man of God. The man of God trumps the state. But when the state takes over an organized religion, like the Romans did, when they adopted Christianity, was it Constantine?
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Yes, I like this." And I don't doubt him. I don't doubt that he found salvation. But so many Romans had so many gods and so many religious practices that they had, they didn't want to leave them behind.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we do? This Christianity is the law of the land. He proclaimed it, law of the land. But man, that Yuletide festival that we have.
That thing's awful fun.
December 25th, yeah. Okay, we don't want to give that up. So let's make that the birthday of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we can still have our Yuletide festival. And we'll call it the birthday of Christ. Okay? And they've done this with a lot of the festivals. Christ wasn't born in December. They have come up with the exact time of year he was born. What was it, September, October, something like that?
I think September, yeah.
So much Baal has gotten into religion and denominations. It's insane. Worship God. Accept Jesus Christ. Don't have to be a Baptist or a Methodist or a Pentecostal. Do what the Bible says. God does not like religion. He wants your heart. Follow me with all your heart. The first covenant, not the law. And what did we prove? What did we prove? Jesus Christ. The Bible says he kept the law in its entirety. He kept the law in its entirety, and only then could he be the supreme sacrifice. But he worked on Sunday, and we found out between the lines that if the heart is truly following after God, it trumps all of the law. So this guy is resurrecting Baal, who'd just been put down, and he's mixing it with God, trying to mix it with the religion of the Jews. And he made his son to pass through the fire and observe times and use enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He brought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house, which the Lord said to David and to Solomon, his son, "In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever." He sets up an idol inside the house of God. You want the wrath of God upon you. We've talked about this many times. You do the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. God can make a way for all the rest of them. You transgress against that first one, you're in big trouble. There are three types of sins in the world. They all amount to disobedience, but there are three types. Beginning with the worst, going down to the least. Sins against God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Sins against your fellow man. Severity of lesser quality. And then sins against yourself. Obviously the least. You're only harming yourself. But you mess up and you sin against God himself. You're in big trouble. Neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them, according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. If they would only follow the law, because they won't follow me with their hearts. I gave them things to do with, that they could do with their hands. You know, I understand that the heart requires the inner man to stand up and be strong. But how hard is it to wash your hands? How hard is it to bring a sheep to the temple? You know, I gave them something easier that they could do with their hands. And they could even boast about. Oh, look at Bill Johnson. He sacrifices every week. He's obviously a man of God. What'd God say about those? Remember when Korah messed up so bad? And then that one small family of a certain tribe stood up and said no. And they did everything right.
Right.
And they were brought before the congregation and blessed and raised up in stature. Mm-hmm. And then a few chapters later said, God has his reasons. And that reason for that was he wanted to show that doing things with your hands doesn't make you holy, because those same men who had kept the law during that time of rebellion and were brought up in the congregation and made to be men of esteem because of it, God, a few chapters later, showed everyone what was actually in the minds of those men. The true spirit man inside, and the things were filthy and abominable that he showed them. So does doing things with your hands make you holy? Going to church every Sunday make you holy? No, it doesn't. It's what's in the heart. Because you can go through the acts of religion and find yourself in hell one day. Because the heart was never in it. I don't care what you say in church. I don't care how many roles you're on. Oh, my name's on 27 different church roles throughout my life. And I obviously have a good seat at the table when I get to God's kingdom. Those were the men that he said, okay, now, you remember those guys that we exalted for keeping the law during that time where people were rebelling? Now I'm going to show you what was in their minds. That's scary. God sees everything. And what was in their minds were abominations to God. But they hearkened not, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake by his servants the prophets, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah, hath done these abominations, and hath done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. And he's already made the statement they're going to be carried off into captivity, and this is where it's going. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab. And I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. And I will forsake the remnant of mine inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies. They shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies. And he's talking about the remnant that's going to be taken into captivity in Babylon and then will be refined and brought out to begin again. Sometimes when the cancer gets so bad, you can't cut the cancer out. The entire body must be medicated. because they have done that which is evil in my sight, and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came forth out of Egypt, even unto this day. Disobedience. There's one sin in this Bible. It's disobedience. Call it anything you want. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much, till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. Beside his sin, wherewith he made Judah to sin in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh, and all that he did, and the sin that he sinned, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? Manasseh slept with his fathers, and was buried in the garden of his own house, in the garden of Uzzah. And Amon his son reigned in his stead. Amon was 22 years old, and he began to reign. And he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Meshulamith, the daughter of Harzu of Jotbeth. And he did that which was evil inside the Lord. Imagine that. Yeah. We get one good one and four or five bad ones. As his father Manasseh did, and he walked in all the way of his father, walked in, and served the idols that his father served, and worshipped them. And he forsook the Lord God of his fathers, and walked not in the way of the Lord, and the servants of Ammon conspired against him, and slew the king in his own house. Don't follow God, and you will have no spiritual protection, Christian. Right in the king's throne room. Got the secret service all around the building. He's killed right in there. There is no protection for you on earth if you do not follow God with your heart. You are laid open to the evil and to the power of this world. There is a God in this world, and it's not the God in heaven. Right now, he has reign in this world. And if you're not following after God, you are open to anything that he wants to put on you. The people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Ammon. The people of the land made Joash, his son, king in the stead. Now the rest of the acts of Ammon, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? He was buried in his sepulcher in the garden of Uzzah, and Josiah, his son, reigned in his stead. Disobedience, Christian. You want blessings from God, get up every morning. You say, I'm going to do the best that I can. I'm going to be the best person that I can, because I know that's what God wants. And if your heart follows after him, he will assist you in your walk. But I tell you what, give this body more than it needs. Excess, starting with food, drink, pleasures of any sort, drugs. But the biggest one I see, the biggest drug in the Christian community, is food. Feed this body more than it wants. The spirit man will go to sleep. You know, there are very multiple levels of that sleep. You know, just a little mild delusion. And then eyes not focusing, and then absolute sleep. And you can seduce your spirit man to sleep with the pleasures of food. And then the flesh takes over. The spirit goes on autopilot. The flesh takes over, and you're in for a wild ride to hell right here on earth. You got to get up, and you got to focus. You got to put everything in moderation, like Paul says. All things are legal for the Christian. Go eat all the pork you want. But not all things are good for a Christian. And if you're following God, he'll let you discern what is good and what's not. And he'll also tell you when to shove back from the table. Been good to be here with you in 2 Kings today on Between the Lines with David and Jonathan on WBFF 97.7. And we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.